Welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content and word pronunciation is simply the opinion of the hosts and their guests.
We're all like guns, and I love being free. Because I'm armed, you can't take that from me, and you should know it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 122 of New Shooter Canada. I'm one of your hosts, Thomas, and this week, George, well, he says he's working tonight. He's got a midnight load, but we kind of suspect that he booked off sick to watch some football game or something. We're not 100%. So, and we have a guest tonight. We have Mr. Uzi. How you doing, Tom?
Good. How about you?
Good. And then we have Mike stranded in a hotel room with his family in Toronto. How you doing, Mike?
All right. Getting by.
Well, since Mr. Uzi has a list, what did you do in Guns this week, Tom?
Oh, it'd be shorter if I said what I didn't do, like George.
Well, then we wouldn't have any show at all.
Well, my back is sore because he keeps throwing me under the bus lately, so I decided to come on and straighten him out.
Oh, good, good.
Let's see. Well, I have a Dillon 650, and I found a cool thing called the GSI bullet feeder, and you just fill it up with bullets and it automatically feeds them in there, so waiting for that to come in before I set it all up. And I got 10,000 bullets sitting on the floor in the basement waiting for that. And I ordered two Grizzly 10 round magazines for my Tika T3, and I loaded up a bunch of test loads with the AR comp powder I got from Firearms Outlet, so once the magazines come in for the Tika, I can go out and try that out. And I'm also waiting for my SIG Tango 4 scope to clear customs. And I've been working with Rick and Kelly trying to get Project Maple Seed on the go. And I got some shooting mats from JSA Tactical being sent out there for new people to use. They don't have to buy anything. So
that's awesome.
That's about all I did.
That's good.
Yeah.
So your Dillon 650, do you have a case feeder on it?
It's coming too, yeah.
It's coming too? Okay.
When I bought it, it didn't, like, the place I went to didn't really have. They just had the press and the primer tubes and the low powder alarm and the low primer alarm.
So. Yeah, the main press, I guess you'd call it. So did you prioritize the bullet feeder over the case feeder, or just what's coming first?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, I prioritize, because it, having like the case, filling the case feeder is easier than setting bullets on each case as you're loading.
Okay.
So I think it'd make it faster with the bullet feeder. Plus with the bullet feeder, it replaces the tool head. It's a special tool head. So if I set it all up and then started using it before the bullet feeder came in, I'd have to take all the dies out, replace the tool head, and put all the dies back on it and set them all back up again. So I think it would take a while to get it all dialed back in. So I just figured I'd let it wait.
Yeah.
And then just do it all at once.
So the bullet feeder, that GSI bullet feeder, did it replace one of the stations in the press?
Well, it replaces like the whole metal plate where all your dies screw into.
Yeah.
That thing gets pulled out in the hole. But no, it just, it goes right above where you put a bullet on the case.
But I mean,
so it might. So but I don't know.
It doesn't take up one of your spots, though.
No.
Okay. Well, no, because I was looking into that for the Hornady one, but the Hornady one takes up one of your spots, one of your die positions. So if you're already using all five positions, then this one would, you'd have to bump something off, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
But no, this one just. Yeah. It's just automatic. It's like the case feeder, but a bullet feeder, so it looks pretty cool.
That's good.
Excellent.
And what kind of bullets you got there?
Campro, 124 grain.
Okay. Nice.
9mm.
Yeah, I like those.
Yeah, those are good. Those are good bullets.
Yeah, and they're cheap. They're like $97 for 1,000. So.
Yeah, let's be honest. That's the real reason why I like them. They're the cheapest thing you can get besides lead.
Yeah, but they shoot really well.
Oh yeah, they are really good, but I'll be honest, the reason why I buy them is because they're the cheapest thing next to lead, and I don't want to shoot lead because it's just too dirty, so that's why I love them.
I like the berry bullets too. They're really good.
They're expensive though. Well, for where I'm at.
Actually, the Wolf 124 grains are actually berry bullets.
Oh yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But they're made, I guess our costs are less here because they come in here, then they have to be shipped out west. So I guess you're paying the shipping cost.
I don't know though, because I think SFRC, they sell the Wolf bullets, right?
Yeah, I think they do.
I think the Camprod were pretty comparable, if not a better price than the Wolf bullet still. So.
I think the Campros are made in Alberta too, so.
I thought they were made in Quebec.
Shop local. I don't know.
I don't know. Canadian.
Yeah.
Actually, I think.
And then I have.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say Frosty gave me a bunch of those X-Metal bullets to try as well.
Oh, yeah.
I
haven't loaded any up yet. No, I'm just waiting for. I guess I could single stage on my other press just to try them out, but.
That's no fun.
Been busy wrestling lately, so had no time. I've just been spending all my time shopping online.
Dangerous thing to do.
Yeah.
That's my favorite activity this time of year. I don't want to go out. It's too cold. I'll just stay home and shop.
Yeah, well, the weather here is crazy. Like right now it's minus 30 and last week it was plus 5. And next week when I go back to work, it's supposed to be plus 5 again. So hopefully it stays warm so I can get out and do some stuff once all my goodies show up.
Just wait in the mail. Well, yeah. Since I'm going to do the one story, I'll do what I did, guns, and I'll lead into Mike. So I spoke with listener Terry, or I messaged listener Terry, and he's not getting a Savage Access, George. He's getting a Savage 64. So he is getting the Rimfire. So I changed my recommendations a lot. If he's got the newer model, I think it's drilled on top. If he's got an older model, it's just going to have the groove receiver. And his budget is low, so I suggested either, if he's got the groove receiver, I suggested the Tasco Red Dot. It comes with rings and a groove receiver. Or if he wants to go scope-wise, I suggested the new Nikon P-Series. It's a really nice 2x7, and it's 50-yard parallax setup just for 22s. And Cabela's got him on for $179 right now. So I put the link in the show note if anybody wants to see what that scope looks like. Now, Mike, you mentioned the Ruger Redhawk, the 45 ACP and 45 Colt that takes the moon clips.
Yep.
I actually went on and Hickok 45 had just put a video out reviewing that. And it does use moon clips, but they're proprietary. They're not the old ones that the 625 uses. It's a different type of moon clip. But look, the gun looked really, really nice.
Yeah, so. That was one of my big concerns with getting it up here is how available are the moon clips going to be? Because if they're hard to get and you have to order, you know, if I order a dozen of them and half of them get stepped on in a year. Right.
No, because I actually remember seeing a similar style up at Williams Arms last year. So I think they're easy to get on.
Okay.
It should be hard to get. And it's funny, if you watch the video, I was mentioning it to Mike, Hickok's got a gong at 100 yards. And he shoots the 45 ACP loads, and you can actually see the bullet in flight before he hits the gong. By 100 yards, it's going pretty, pretty slow, but it's kind of cool to see. And I'm not going to take George's suggestion for taking that Zyban to quit smoking. I went to the doctors. I got my patches. I'm all set. And I got the Zyban. But then I read the side effects for this stuff, George. It's the less common, or the more common are like anxiety, dry mouth, hyperventilation, irregular heartbeats. Less common is buzzing or ringing in the ears, headaches, skin rash, stuff like that. But then they also have confusion, fainting, and this stuff turns you into a liberal because the other side effects are false beliefs that they cannot be changed by fact, having extreme distrust of people, seeing, hearing, or feeling things that are not there or real, seizures, convulsions, and trouble concentrating. An instance not known are actions that are out of control, anger, assaulting others, attacking others, being aggressive, being impulsive, chest pain or discomfort, and other stuff. So don't take Zyban because I bet you all these liberals are anti-smokers that took this stuff. I'm telling you, this stuff looks – I'm not going to take it. It looks pretty scary. I said, "Hey, Terry, I'm reading this stuff, and I go, oh, crap, I can't take this." She goes, "Why not? It's going to turn me into a liberal." She goes, "What do you mean?" I show it to her. She goes, "Oh, yeah, don't take this. Don't take this." So, Mike, what you doing guns this week?
Well, this week, my Wolf Spring order came in. Got all excited, opened it all up, and I realized one of the springs I ordered, I looked at it, and I ordered the wrong one. But for the most part, I got all my springs in.
This is for the GP100?
No, this is actually, I did order another spring for the GP100, but it was out of stock. And I just told them, don't just take it off my order because I want to make sure I got it. Because a lot of these springs are actually for Sarah, for her 1911. So I think we got her a reduced hammer spring, increased recoil spring, pretty much everything so we can kind of tune the gun a little more. But I unfortunately have not had a chance to replace any of that stuff yet. I got out my GP100 and cleaned it all up. There was quite a bit of gunk built up on it, so figured it was a good time to clean it up. I got one more match before I go down to Florida, so give it a test run after that. I also reloaded about 500 rounds of 38 Special for taking down to Florida. Today I reset my press up for 9mm, and I only loaded 20 rounds just to make sure that everything was set up right. And then I just sorted and cleaned more brass, all getting ready for Florida.
So you only shoot the plated stuff for the GP100?
Yep.
Do you notice an increase of plating built up around the forcing cone?
Nope.
Yeah, so that was a problem with shooting lead through my 625 and my Model 19. I noticed after a lot of rounds, the lead buildup was really, really bad around the forcing cone. And the plated stuff actually was a lot cleaner.
No, I think I only shot like a couple hundred lead rounds through my revolver. I have a whole pile of them loaded up. I don't shoot them because A, they make my gun incredibly dirty, and B, they're semi-wad cutters. So they're not really any good for competition because that lip there for the wad cutter catches up on the cylinder when you're trying to do a fast speed load. So that's part of the reason why I like the Campro bullets. Could I get the 158 conical nose, I think they are?
Yeah.
So they go into the cylinder a lot better.
That's cool.
Yep. Yep, and that's all I did this week.
Okay, well, guns in the news, it wasn't a lot, but there's a couple things I threw in there, because I was reading an article about Tannerite. So I just thought I'd mention a couple of things about Tannerite. So using a binary explosive, we all know at least one person has been killed, and several other people have been seriously injured, being stupid, or maybe they just haven't read that, or maybe it's just a natural selection process, because people have been doing some really stupid things. Follow the manufacturer's recommendation for the target mixture. We have noticed that a few YouTube videos, people cannot read very well. And being too close depends on the size of charge that you're using. Most makers recommend that you stay inside 100 yards, even for the smallest charge. Do not be outside of 300 yards if you're going to exceed the manufacturer's guidelines, because most of the serious injuries have included in large charges inside 50 and 100 yards. And if you do decide to go over the manufacturer's suggested, I guess it's done by pounds, half pound, quarter pound. If you go over it, don't put in any type of a container that's going to produce shrapnel. Because when you shoot a binary explosive in any sort of metal container or any plastic container, actually, you're making a shrapnel bomb. And there's been a few incidents where people put them in lawnmowers or steel cases, and you're making a bomb and you're going to get hurt. So if you're going to play with that stuff, be safe. Water works really good. If you want to get a couple jugs full of water and put some food coloring in it, or bags of powder, or, you know, if you want a visible or flower, something that's going to not, if you can use it on your range, something that's not going to dirty up the range, or, but be safe. Don't use metal targets for crap like that, because you're just going to get hurt.
Well, you can only legally mix 1 pound in Canada anyways.
Yeah, but people, you see videos where people putting 10, 20, 30 pounds.
Yeah.
There's one guy that, he baited
a bunch. In the States, they do that, huh?
Yeah, they baited a bunch of hogs with like 50 pounds of Tannerite. And that's just as dangerous because you're going to get bone fragments coming at you, never mind being stupid. No, if you're going to harvest an animal, that's fine. You're going to harvest it. You're going to eat one. Don't blow up 30 animals at once and just have pig all over the place.
It's a cooking express.
Well, I'm sure some
sounds
of it
like
was
fun to me.
Yeah, yeah. It was. They sound like fun.
Cooking
but,
and delivery included.
Just stay behind a tree when you start that barbecue. That's all. So, what else we got this week, Mike?
Dumb crook stories. So Winton Lammer and Drew Nash, two dopey Floridans, were arrested early this morning after Lamars flashed a BB gun and the duo swiped beer from Stewart Gas Station. Their first mistake was letting the Speedway worker grab the gun from them. Then they departed with the brew, but Lamars left his ID behind. Not content with those
miscues.
Sure. Lamar, 22, later called the store and asked if he could swing by and retrieve his belongings. Sure, said the clerk, Murray Blanco. But when Lamar and Nash, 21, returned, they were met by Martin County Sheriff deputies, who transported Dumb and Dumber to the local lockup.
You want to do the next one, Mr. Uzi?
Sure. Dave So-and-So of Anniston, Alabama, was injured recently after he attempted to replace a tube-like fuse in his Chevy pickup with a .22 caliber rifle cartridge used because it was a perfect fit. However, when electricity heated the bullet, or the cartridge, I guess, it went off and shot him in the knee.
There's somebody for the Darwin Award. And the one I liked was a man in Johannesburg, South Africa, shot his 49-year-old friend in the face, seriously wounding him while the two were practicing shooting beer cans off each other's head.
God.
What's the next one, Mike?
The Chico, California City Council enacted a ban on nuclear weapons, setting a $500 fine for anyone detonating one within city limits.
You can blow up the city and we're going to fine you.
$500.
And the last one, Thomas?
Arizona, a company called Guns for Hire, stages gunfights for Western movies, etc. One day, they received a call from a 47-year-old woman who wanted to have her husband killed. She got a 4.5 year in jail.
Yeah, that'll do it. At story three, I discovered something I didn't know about. The public can access a police database for searching firearm serial numbers. And actually, funny, when I took the verifiers course, they never mentioned this to us. But there's a little disclaimer on it. But, you know, if you buy a used firearm, it's a good resource to check if it's stolen property before you buy it, not after you buy it, okay? But the disclaimer is, by using this search, I understand that access to the website is granted to a user on the condition that the user shall absolve, save harmless, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police or any individual employee thereof for any damages, however caused arising from unintentional errors, failures, disclosures, or use of such information. Transactions resulting from this search may be shared with law enforcement agencies upon request. If you receive a positive result, please contact your local police to confirm the information that and ask for assistance. So I put the link in actually the terms and conditions in the website, which I thought was quite funny. Of course they're gonna, if it comes up with a bang with something stolen, especially if it's a police firearm or something, you can bet your butt they're gonna be showing up at your doorstep.
Yeah. Well, if you think
so
that
make
they're
sure
just
you're
gonna
on
like,
a VPN.
Yeah, if you think you're gonna get away with it. If it's stolen, and you just literally told the RCMP that you have a stolen gun, then you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, what else? Oh, there still isn't a lot new. I'm trying to do what's new in the industry to what's new in Canada, because a lot of stuff that comes in the States, we don't get. So I'm trying to refocus that part. The one that I kind of like is Grandpa Distribution put on their Facebook page the new Striker Fire Generation 2 Q100. It should be in here shortly. And he had it tied into an introductory promotion. So I actually messaged David and I said, well, what's the promotion? And what they're doing is that the suggested list on this gun is $650. And the new introductory price is going to be $595, which even at $650, it's a super deal. And the Generation 2s have a different trigger system as well, too. So I think they've improved it over the Generation 1. And hopefully I should be able to get my hands on one of these in a couple of weeks to test fire, and I'll let you know what it's like.
Do you have any information on what the trigger pull is going to be like?
No idea yet, but it's got the – it looks like it's got the Glock double trigger on it. It's got the adjustable backstraps with multi-backstraps and the fixed sights on it. So – I'm not a fan. I don't dislike striker fire guns. I just don't shoot them very well. So I'm looking forward to seeing what this one handles like. There's a couple like that strike one. It's for a striker fire. The trigger is really, really nice. So I'm really hoping the ground power is similar to that. But anything else I have a hard time with.
My Steyr's nice. Nice trigger.
Which Steyr do you have?
The L9.
The L9. Okay. Yeah.
Is it the long slide?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's actually, it's like the same size as my CZ75. It's not anything special, like long.
Because the CZ's what, 4.5 inch barrel? So the Steyr's what, a 5 inch, I guess?
I think so, yeah.
Have you actually tested the trigger pull?
I don't know, it's like the same. No. No.
But that's one thing I've been thinking of getting. I've got the same, like that cheap plastic Midway trigger scale. I did have a nicer scale that I never got back years ago, but I'm thinking of buying one of those digital scales, giving more accurate measurement of my trigger pulls.
Well, not only that, but I think their range is a lot higher than a lot of the spring style scales.
Yeah, I think you got the same one as me, and that you were what, doesn't go past 12 pounds, does it?
I have a Wheeler one, and it goes up to 8.
Yeah, so I have the same one then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I just don't want to buy something I only use like twice a year.
Buy more guns and you'll use it more often.
Or your friends will ask to borrow it, not return it.
Yeah, maybe I'll just buy it, use it, and return it. Okay. That's all my triggers and take it back.
Send it back to Amazon. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Keep it on your wish list, though, in case you get another gun. You want to test it.
Yeah.
You will use it. You'll test it. You'll test every gun in your cabinet once you get it. Then you'll test all your wife's guns, too. And people come over and you take it to the range. Let's test your trigger.
She doesn't have any. I should buy her some guns, eh?
Did she get her pal yet?
No. She's not into shooting.
How old are your daughters?
My oldest is 19 and then 14. And then my son is 10 and my other daughter's 9.
What about the 19-year-old? Does she have her pal?
She might. She got her junior pal when she was younger.
What do you mean she might? You don't know whether your daughter has a license or not? Does she still live with you?
No, she's going to college, so she doesn't, she's away. She's gone.
Unless she needs money, she doesn't call home.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
But it ticked us off because when we went to, we were going to go to the range, like when she first got her junior license, and we went to, like, Walmart was the only place to open on Sunday in Edson. So we swung in there to buy some .22 ammo with her new card, and they wouldn't sell it to her because, she's not 18. I'm like, well, she's got her junior firearms license. Oh, it's store policy, so...
I know. I used to have arguments with them because when the one up here, they would ask for two pieces of ID. They'd ask for your driver's license too. And I said, no, the law says I don't have to give you. The law just says you need my pal. Because, well, we want your driver's license. No, because you're going to put my address in that book. So we argued with them every time and they stopped selling ammo now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I stopped going to Walmart for that reason too, for ammunition.
Yeah, I wouldn't give them the information. It's none of the damn business. Yeah.
Mind you, with that said, my Walmart never carried very much anyways, so not exactly a huge loss.
Yeah. Well, the thing I like...
Canadian Tire.
Actually, the Canadian Tire near me, for years, they sold very little, and about a year ago, they started stocking firearms. They've got pistol ammunition. They've got a lot of shooting stuff now.
Well, that was when they redid that Canadian Tire, right?
Yeah, when they redid it.
Yeah.
But even before, I would go in there. The clerk would order me ammo. I said, well, can you get me some .44 magnums? And the kid would say, sure. And then the second time I went in, the manager said, no, they refused to order it for me. They didn't want to order any handgun ammunition. And I said, well, what do you think all these .22s are going through? I said, they're going through pistols. I said, what's the difference? You let me buy .22s for my pistols, but you won't let me buy .44s for my revolvers. I failed to see the difference, so...
Yeah, I was shocked the first time I saw pistol ammo at a Canadian Tire. I didn't even know that Canadian Tire was willing to sell pistol ammo at all.
I think the one, is it in Kingston? It's a full-service gun shop. Or is it in Colburn? It's full-service. They sell powder, primers, everything.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. I think it's, I think John was telling me the one in Colburn is a full-service shop. Because for the longest time, if you lived up in northern Ontario, you had to drive over to the Canadian Tire in Manitoba to buy any reloading supplies and stuff because nobody up there sold it.
Oh, wow.
There's a bunch of getting better.
Yeah, there's a bunch of places that sell them and sell that stuff in northern Ontario now.
Yeah, but it was funny. I was talking to, I guess, I think around 2000, I was talking to John Williams up in Williams Arms, and he was telling me that before the Firearms Act came in, he had over 30 different distributors to choose from, and 5 years later, he had less than 7 because it just, a lot of the smaller companies just backed away from it. They couldn't be bothered with all the hassles. And that's why Canadian Tire and all these other stores, they stopped selling ammunition and firearms because they just didn't want the hassles. So it's nice to see, I don't know how many distributors there are now, but if you look at, for example, the Firearms Outlet calendar last year for those 12 months, those are all different distributors that were on that calendar. Each one of those guns were sent in by a different distributor. So I'm guessing we have at least, that I know of, probably 20 or more distributors now. So it's nice to see that things are getting better and improving. And a lot of new ones all the time. Like you get stuff, different companies are importing or retailers are importing their own guns and they're being the distributors for that one particular product, which we'll get into in a minute then.
Yeah. Well, that's nice when you have if you can pick just the right company to become the dealer for, right? Something that ended up blowing up and being incredibly popular and you have the connection to start bringing them in right away instead of waiting around like everyone else probably would.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. As long as you don't get stuck with something that
no one wants.
The first men decide to prohibit.
Oh, yeah.
Come like and take that. It. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Wolverine.
And I guess a lot of people prepaid for that too, eh?
Yeah. Ridiculous.
They had that happen before, didn't they?
Yeah. They should just tell them to send them back with no furniture. And then just put whatever else on once they come in.
Just bring them in with regular stocks. And then just offer, if you buy one, we'll give you a coupon for free engraving.
Yeah.
Imagine how much that's going to cost them, though. Because if they have to send them back, since it won't be allowed in the country. And not everybody paid for that. So if they had to have them re-stamped or redone, it would be cost prohibitive.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Well, that's what happens. You live in a socialist state and you let the police run the laws.
Yeah.
So what you do, if you actually buy, say, some of these smaller guns, if you have a problem with your gun, warranty repair, what do?
Just buy a Tika. You'll never have to worry about it.
Yeah, this is true.
Or a Swiss. Buy a Swiss Arms.
Anything that comes out of Swiss, no. I was thinking...
Their watches are very good.
Yeah. So are their knives.
Yeah, yeah. I've had my one Swiss Army knife. I bet you've had it 30 years.
Sorry, we're derailing you already, Thomas. Go ahead.
I know. I'm used to George doing it. But so if you do have a warranty repair problem, what do you do? So a lot of gun shops, it'll actually be posted, especially the smaller shops, their policy will be posted up on the wall as either most of them are no refund or no exchange on guns. Some may be a little more open if it's a used gun. I know for Williams Arms, if I buy something from there and it's used, usually it's a 30-day warranty. But you got to verify what your warranty is, like whether it's a 1-year, 2-year, 5-year, or lifetime. They're all different. For example, when you got your Ruger, Mike, did it have any warranty card in it?
My GP100?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Ruger does not put a warranty card in any of their products.
Oh.
When you read the manual, it'll say why. There's a little thing saying why there is no warranty card in it. There was some Moss, I think it was called the Mossberg Act back in the 30s and 40s, where in the States, the manufacturers have to say what the warranty is, whether in full or inclusive. So Ruger doesn't put a warranty card in any of their products, but they do give it a lifetime service warranty. If you've got a malfunctioning Ruger, you send it in, they'll fix it.
Hmm.
And then Smith & Wesson's a lifetime warranty. regardless of the age of the product.
So if it if they don't give you a car, then how do you know what will void the warranty?
Well, the warranty, will you modifying the firearm?
Will taking a Dremel to it void the warranty?
Yes, that will do it.
How do you know I just haven't used it so much that it's just shiny now?
They will know. even like Smith & Wesson has a lifetime warranty on it. And, you know, the best one of them all actually is High Point. They have a lifetime warranty on whoever owns it. So you could sell that gun 20 times, and the 20th owner still has a full lifetime warranty on the product.
That's good. I mean, you build your gun like a brick, right?
Oh, yeah, and they are bricks.
Yeah. But I wonder how many people actually have to send them in for warranty work.
Well, see, up here, I don't know who would be the warranty repair center up here. I don't know who. I think the only place I know that actually sells them was Elwood Epps. And I don't know whether they imported them themselves or if they got them through a distributor.
Oh, but I mean, you build a gun like that, and you build it so hideously ugly that everyone wants to trade it in after they've learned that what a High Point is. I mean, how many people actually shoot a High Point enough to break it?
Well, they can't break it. Like, look at Heinrich.
Yeah.
They're trying to break it.
Heinrich and Matt have tried. I think they did. They just haven't released the video yet. Because I know they tease that there is something, but I haven't seen it yet. So if you do send it in and you've put non-factory parts in, like Mike has, take them all out and put the original parts back in. Because changing the parts to avoid the warranty. And if you send a Ruger in, like a Ruger 1022, and you put a Volkswagen hammer and sear in it, they will send it back to you without folks quartz and hammer and sear. They will send it back to you in original factory condition. So if you got some expensive parts in there, take them out.
Yeah.
And some stuff they will say is voiding the warranty if you put certain parts in.
Yeah. But I mean, I understand that.
Black powder.
Yeah, especially put black powder through it. That would do it.
Double load of black powder around. Yeah.
Squibs. Mm-hmm. That stupid High Point. It didn't even put a bulge in the barrel.
They should dry ice it and then shoot black powder out of it.
I think they did that, didn't they? They bought like 100 pounds of dry ice.
They did that for a different test. I don't think the High Point was part of that test, though.
It was before they got the High Point, I think.
Yeah. I think the only pistol they put through that test was the Glock.
Oh, the freezing test. Yeah, I didn't watch all the freezing tests.
Yeah.
Another thing you have to consider is like some of the shops may send the gun out for repair, and they may cover the shipping. Others may require that you ship it directly to the manufacturer or the manufacturer's authorized warranty center or the shop may have its own repair center. So when I was asking, Thomas mentioned his Grizzly, and I thought he had one of those Grizzly shotguns. The one thing you got to watch out, for example, are the Norks. If you get a Nork from Marstar, for example.
Aren't the Grizzly Norks just in a different name? Yeah, okay.
I think Canada Ammo imports those. So that's something you have to consider too, because if you get a Nork from Marstar, they have a 2-year no question warranty. They really cover the product. But then someplace like Canada Ammo, which I don't know whether they're importing the Grizzlies under their house brand. So I don't know if do you have to send a gun back to China if you got to get it fixed? Or does the retailer have their own warranty center for the products they're importing? So it's a good idea because there's a lot of variables. If the gun has to be shipped out of country, it's going to take a long, long time.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was thinking. Most, there's really only, three manufacturers of firearms inside Canada. So pretty much most of these guns, if they have to be shipped anywhere, they're going outside of the country.
Yeah.
Where they're on a boat over to China or where they're just crossing the border into the U.S.,
even crossing the board, well, it depends. Even in Canada, where we've got Savage, we've got
but Savage only does 22s, and
just the rimfires.
They may, or yes, yeah, the rimfire, but they don't may not do any warranty work on it.
I think they do. I think they do the warranty work up here on the rimfires.
Okay.
The only other one I know is NEA is up here.
Yeah, NEA, Delaska Arms. There's what's the one?
Modiac. ATRS?
Yeah, that's, yeah. Alberta, what's that? Alberta Tactical Rifle?
Oh, yeah, supply. If you want to make the non-restricted AR looking rifle.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have a custom maker. Yeah. He'll warrant this product directly if he's actually manufactured it.
Yeah. Well, my point was pretty, unless you have one of those very few, a gun from one of those very few people, pretty much everything's going at a country.
It depends. The big manufacturers, Ruger, Smith & Wesson, they do have authorized repair centers, depending on what it is. I know that they used to have one out in Alberta. He lost it actually, and then he passed away, so I won't badmouth him right now. And it's now in Quebec.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not very nice.
So does that pretty much mean that it's just a gunsmith that has, okay, so pretty much if there's warranty work, they just send it to, you know, ex-gunsmith who has the fancy title, and he fixes it and sends it back.
Yeah, he'll be the authorized. Like, for example, my friend Keith Long, he was the warranty repair center for Remington and Marlin, but he had such a hard time getting parts. You know, he would put the request in, it would be 6 months, 9 months for he'd get the parts back, and he more or less said, screw yourself, I don't want to do it anymore. He refused. He had such a hard time. Even getting paid, they were giving him a hard time. So he won't deal with Marlin or Remington any longer.
Yeah.
And then you have our
Marlin
or Remington's Grand Power Distribution. They're in Southern Ontario. He actually imports and distributes. He has a gunsmith that he uses, but he has all the parts already. Springs, barrels, he stocks everything. So certain products you can get fixed rather quickly in Canada. Others you can't.
Yeah, so it just means if you pick not a fly-by-night company, but a less popular, a smaller company, they may end up being shipped out of country.
It depends. Like some of these, if you get a gun that's was sold to a reputable distributor, for example, Odell's been in business for a long, long time. So if you buy a gun, say, through Odell or one of these bigger shops, you're usually not going to have any problem. You get one of these smaller distributors that's just starting up. He might not even have the parts in stock to even warrant it. Like all that USCON stuff that came in the country, I don't remember seeing any parts in the warehouse.
You went to their warehouse?
He posted all kinds of pictures, and I didn't see any parts. When he was the distributor for Grand Power, he never ordered any parts or magazines or anything either.
Okay.
If he had a problem, it had to go back to Grand Power. So you have to look around. Like I'm saying, if you get a NORC and you get it from Canada Ammo, just ask them, you know, if there's a problem, who does the warranty repair? And they might say, just bring it back here. We'll take care of it. Or they might say it have to be shipped out to Leavers out in British Columbia. You know,
yeah.
It all depends.
I guess it also depends on what kind of warranty work you also need done on your gun too. Like if you know that something's missing, then they may just order the part in for you as opposed to forcing you to send the gun in.
Yeah, exactly. It could be missing a spring or something just might not be, it could have broken or something like that. If it's something visible, they might be able to replace the part. If it's something that they can't see, it might have to go back to the manufacturer.
Yeah, because Sarah JR Carbine, I guess the charging handle, it's just kind of like a screw and it had worked its way out. And so she called up, I think Owen Epps was actually the contact point for warranty work, even though that's not where she bought it from. And she contacted them up. They said, no problem. And a few weeks later, we ended up with, I think, two or three of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. If you go to a reputable retailer, like Epps is a great store to deal with.
Yeah.
They'll usually always take care of you. And the trick is, be reasonable when you deal with them. Don't be an idiot. You know, don't start cursing and swearing. Treat people the way that you like to be treated. Because I used to work in customer services. If you're nice and reasonable to me and you had a problem, I went out of my way to help you. If you're an idiot and rude and insulting to me, you've got the bare minimum that I had to do for you. So, you know, if you call me up and you start cursing and swearing, the first thing I'm going to tell you is, swear again, I'm disconnecting on you. But, you know, if you have a problem, you say, look, this is the problem. And, well, let me see what I can do for you. And you say, thank you. Oh, no problem. It's, people respond to how you treat them. So,
yet you still managed to do a weekly podcast with George.
He does try my patience at times. And you have to consider too, like some companies, if there is a problem, sometimes they'll do throw-ins for your inconvenience. Some may not. If it's a recall, for example, they may throw in something like Remington throwing in those cases that people never got yet for the R51s.
Yeah. Hey, those are some nice Pelican cases.
But, well, but the case is probably worth more than the gun is.
Oh, these days, yeah. Actually, they I thought I heard that they are reshipping the guns back out now. They finally got around to doing it. So, not that anyone up here has one of those because they're prohibs, but...
Yeah.
So how do you know, though, if you're... if what you did is, like, your damage that you caused is covered under warranty as opposed to what's just considered to be your own fault, I guess you could say. For example, like, reloaded ammo versus, you know, if you had store-bought ammo or if you over-tighten a screw and you crack the fore end of your gun. How do you find that information out?
Call the manufacturer.
So do you call the manufacturer or do you call the whoever does the warranty work?
Well, if you call the manufacturer, they'll probably direct you to who does the warranty work. As far as reloads concerned, I don't know any manufacturer that will allow you to shoot reloads with the gun. There's a disclaimer in every manual I ever read saying do not, they won't warrant reloaded ammo.
Only factory ammo. How do they know if you shoot reloaded ammo through it?
They don't.
That's what I figured.
Well, they have to put the disclaimer in anyway because people do.
Yeah.
Have reloading.
I understand them having to do that stuff just to cover their own butt, but I see that all the time and I always wonder, do they really know that I'm putting reloaded ammo through this or are they just guessing?
I guess if it depends on the gun and what type of ammo you're putting through it. If you have a problem with your Glock, and they see that the barrel is full of lead, they'll probably assume that you're putting reloads through it.
Yeah, but that's because Glock also said don't put lead through the gun.
Exactly.
But so
he's putting reloads and he's shooting lead.
But they don't, yeah. But I mean, did anyone else say that you can't use lead rounds in their pistol?
No, not that I know of. Oh, there might be other striker or polygonal rifle makers or barrel makers might say that. Glock's the only one I've actually read.
Okay. No, I only know of Glock just because everyone always talks about that part. But the reason why I also ask is there are, you can buy store-bought stuff with lead bullets.
Oh yeah.
Well, just because it's a lead projectile doesn't necessarily mean that it's a reload.
No, true. Cause does sell the 9mm. And a lot of new people shoot them because they're cheap.
Yeah, that's what I start. Well, that's not what I started shooting store bought, but that's what I started when I first started reloading. Just for that exact reason, I was poor and I wanted to get into reloading so I could shoot more for less. And lead bullets were the cheapest thing I could buy.
Well, yeah, I was getting my lead projectiles dirt cheap, so that's all I shot until my lead levels got really high in my body and I stopped shooting lead projectiles. But, you know, another sign too, if you send in your gun and they say that, there's a nice bulge in the barrel, well, odds are it's a reload. I've seen very few factory ammo produce squib loads. It does happen, but most of the squib loads are usually reloading bloopers.
Oh yeah. I don't doubt that most double charges come from bulge barrels as opposed to store-bought. But, I mean, technically, you can get a store-bought that is double-charged, right? It is possible.
Oh, yeah. I got, well, look at my my first Ruger Mark with my Mark II. It was Federal Blazer 22s. There was no powder in that cartridge. It was full of priming compound. When that 22 went off, it blew the crap out of the gun.
Yeah.
It felt like I was shooting my 44 Magnum.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the thing. Imagine if that was a 9mm instead of a 22, and you tried to take that in, they may say, "Oh no, that's just you for reloading." Part of your benefit because it was 22 long rifle, no one would assume that you reloaded it.
True, and I still actually had about 2/10 of the casing left, which hadn't disintegrated.
Yeah,
but if you have a factory ammunition kaboom. Like I know people that have contacted Winchester or whatever and they've paid to get their gun fixed.
Yeah.
For them.
Yeah, federal paid to have my gun fixed.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I guess it all, you know, most manufacturers, you know, if they reasonably believe that it was the ammo, if they don't doubt you, sure, they'll do it. I guess it all depends on what your claim is and what you're asking for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if you say, well, I'm going to see you, I want $10 million because your product was defective and everything else, well, then they're going to go out of their way to find out that it wasn't their product, it was you.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
Most companies, they want to, you know, if you do have a problem with the product, report it to the manufacturer, because that gives them the opportunity to, it could be a production problem, it could be a quality control problem. They may not be aware of it, so it gives them the opportunity to fix it. And I said most times, if there is a problem, like, for example, if you send a buck knife in for repair, you get a coupon back for a 20% discount off your next purchase. And the same thing with Ruger. When they sent back, I finally got the gun back 9 months later, I got a bunch of pins and stickers and a discount for 25 or 30% off my next purchase to their store. So.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a bunch of free stuff from Winchester. Back in my forestry days, I had a Defender. The front pistol grip broke, and it took a walk up my arm, and it cut me open.
Ooh.
So they sent me some hats and coupons and stickers and try to keep me happy.
Have you had to ever send anything for warranty, Mike?
No. The only warranty stuff I've dealt with was Sarah when she, like I said, the charging handle on her JR carbine had worked itself out and she lost it. Besides that though, no, I called in, NEA when I tried to tighten the foregrip. And I apparently tightened it too much and I cracked it. But I got an email back pretty much saying that I'm too strong and it's my own fault. So.
you got to skip arm day and do more legs.
Do more leg day, yeah.
You had any other problems, Mr. Uzi, or just the Winchester Defender?
Just the Winchester, that's it. And that's the last Winchester that I ever had anything to do with, so.
Yeah. I've also found, unless I have like a catastrophic problem with the gun, if it's just, I'll say small functional, like maybe it's not feeding great or something like that from the magazine, I take that more as a challenge to fix it than just send it back to the warranty guy and get him to fix it for me.
Yeah, it all depends what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, because
if it's something minor.
Yeah.
Because usually they won't even be able to replicate your problem, and they'll send it back to you saying, "Oh, well, we tried it; it's fine." And then it's just a
they'll say
cat and mouse game.
They'll say it's a user problem.
Yeah,
your bullets are too big.
Yeah,
I've had a few warranty repairs, like the federal blowing up. It took 6 months, but they repaired the gun and they gave me $75 US to buy some more ammo, which was kind of nice. Ruger was actually on the phone there. I've had a couple warranty issues with Ruger. One box, one rifle didn't come with rings. I called them. The lady said, end of the phone was really super sweet. She asked, give me your address, dear. I'll get them in the mail. And I did. I got them within a week. When I had the problem with the barrel, the Ruger in the U.S. were great to deal with, but when I had to ship it out to Alberta, that's when I had issues with the guy doing the work out there. And he took 9 months to get it back. And with my Smith & Wesson night, you knew that guy, didn't you, Tom? The guy that did the warranty work out in Alberta?
Who's that?
Jean-Paul something?
No.
No. You wouldn't want to. He was nasty. And he ended up losing the warranty contract, and then he died, so no big loss.
Come on, Thomas. Not everyone in Canada knows each other. Stop perpetuating the stereotype.
No, but there was another listener who actually knew the guy. I thought it was Tom, so maybe I was mistaken.
No.
No.
But no, I just, I remembered I've actually called in quite a few times warranty for my presses. I had a problem with my Lee press, my single stage anniversary press, a few years ago, where I don't know what it was, but it just started to seize up. Like, you could not pull the arm up or down at all.
And I bet you had
it's because it's Lee.
Well, I will say this. Go ahead.
Just buy a Redding or a Dillon, and you'll never have to worry about a warranty.
Well, I will say this, though. Lee, I called them up. No problem. Ship it down to us. I think they sent me, a label so I could ship it down there so I didn't have to actually pay for anything. And I think it was like a month or took a month or two, and I got a brand new one back.
So and I've had customer service from Lee, and they're great. They sent me the shipping label and everything else.
Yep. And then who else have I had? I had RCBS. I had my very first time reloading 223. I think my very first case I went to put into it, it jammed. It got stuck inside the die, and it got stuck so bad that the only way I could get it out, I pretty much had to destroy the spindle and the, whatever you want to call it, the depriming part of it to get the empty case out. And I called up RCBS, no problem. I think they sent me like two or three spindles and a whole pile of the little replacement pieces for their, decapping or depriming, sorry.
I hear Dillon has excellent customer service too.
Yep. And actually last but not least, Hornady. I have their AP Progressive Press, and I've called them a bunch of times. A, they're awesome to work with. They're very good people. And B, you tell them you have a problem. If it's not, besides like fixing it, like, you know, oh, just adjust this or adjust that, they'll send you a whole new part. No problem. I actually just had a plastic piece, the only plastic piece on the whole press. And of course it broke. And I called them up and I tried to describe it to the lady on the phone. She said, no problem. There's two on the way to you right now. And I think about a week and a half later, I had two replacement parts, two of them. So.
Yeah, that's a good thing about dealing with some of the big reputable companies. They offer excellent customer service.
Yeah, especially the ones that to me are, I'll say, no hassle, right? Things like that when you're just replacing small parts or just things like that. The fact that they don't give you a hard time about it, that they don't ask you 1,001 questions, you just tell them pretty much this part broke and they say, okay, we're sending you a new one.
That's why they have the customer base that they do have, because if the people do have an issue and you deal with them reasonably, you're going to go back to that product.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have no regrets about buying my Hornady press.
I had an issue with my Grandpower. I got phenomenal service from Grandpower. I think I got the barrel back in 1 week. And instead of making me wait 6 months to get the gun replaced, the barrel, I got a new gun in like 2 or 3 weeks. So the service was so great, I went out and keep buying more guns from them because the customer service has been so good.
Oh yeah, it definitely does sway you.
Now the problem being, as you said, with a foreign manufacturer like the Norks or some of the Turkish stuff, I'm not really crazy about a lot of the Turkish stuff, even though I don't mind that Uzcon pump. I would never have bought it myself. There's no way.
And yeah.
All the Winchester pump action shotguns are all made in Turkey these days.
So. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I know Sarah's Mossberg, I'm pretty sure that was made in
Turkey. Yes, C20 is imported.
Yeah. But I also imagine that if you buy a gun that was made in Turkey but sold by Mossberg USA, Mossberg USA would be the one who would provide the warranty work on it.
They do, but it's a different warranty. Like the Mossberg used to – my 9200 had, I think, a lifetime warranty, and then if they changed it to a 10-year warranty. I might be mistaken on that. But yours, I think, only has a 1 or 2 year warranty. The international stuff, the warranty isn't as long.
Yeah, that's all she has. But I mean, I guess it also really depends on what kind of gun you get, right? Because Sarah's 1911 that she bought, and I'm pretty sure it was made in Turkey or some Eastern Europe country. If you buy a gun that's, what do I want to call it? The design of it is popular, like the 1911. It stinks to have to pay for something, for what might technically be warranty work, but at the same time, it might also be worth it to send it to your local gunsmith who can find the problems for you and ship it back to you. Might cost a little more, but you get it back a lot faster.
Well, even for that Canuck, that's brought in by Odell, so they'll have a warranty repair center that you can send it to. They're a very reputable distributor.
Oh, that's right. So it's not necessarily just a manufacturer that provides warranty, but it's also the distributor.
Yeah, because if it's an imported product, a lot of time the distributor will set up the manufacturing for it. Not always. That's why I mentioned like the Norks. You're going to get different. You buy one for a small retailer out west that he imported in themselves. He might have to provide the service himself or somebody. I think that's what one of the reasons that Marstar does it, offers that guarantee. They do everything themselves. If you have a problem with it, there's a 2-year on-call guarantee.
Yeah, I've heard Marstar has the best, if you're going to buy Nork, they're supposedly the best place to buy them from, at least for warranty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you ever buy a Nork, Mr. Uzi?
Well, that was my first SKS I ever got, was a Nork.
How was it? Was it the Chinese one? Or the...
Yeah, Chinese one, yeah. That's back when... It was $200 for the Nork and 2 crates of ammo.
Brand new in a box too, right?
2 crates of ammo?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The guns were $99.
Wow, that's...
Because it was buy the rifle, get a free crate of ammo, and then I bought another crate of ammo, and it was like $200 for everything.
And then threw in a free case too, right?
Yeah, that was that Mill Armament. That's actually the one that Trevor's going to shoot at the charity shoot. The Nork. And then when I went to the range right when I got home, and as fast as I could, I shot off one crate, and the front handguard was on fire, burning.
They get pretty hot.
Yeah. Like when I took it apart, like the underneath, it was glowing red with embers. It was burning. Man. It was kind of cool. So yeah. So whoever wins that, it's going to be pretty shot out, I think.
Have you ever cleaned it?
I did once. Just once. Never. And I got it probably, I don't know, 20 years ago, maybe? I'm not sure. Long time ago.
So it's probably a smooth bore by now?
I don't know. I haven't really shot it very much. Just a couple crates through it, but...
Well, I'm just saying the corrosion.
Maybe. I'm not sure. I've never looked down the barrel. But the only reason I had to clean it is because the bolt hold open device was stuck. It wouldn't hold the bolt open, and I couldn't open the magazine. It was all gummed up, so I had to take it all apart and clean it.
That was, 20 years ago?
Yeah. Long time ago.
My friend Colin, he's got one, and he's never cleaned it since he's owned it, and he's probably had it 20 years. I hate to see what the inside. And all he shoots is the corrosive stuff.
Yeah. Well, one of my Russian ones, I kind of looked. It's a numbers matching one that I got from Canadian Tire with my Canadian Tire money for like $200.
And, that's where I got my SKS from.
Yeah, so I've looked after that one, and I don't know, it's pretty good.
I did too, and I got the Tool Arsenal version. I think I had a 52 or 53 Tool Arsenal. I think I paid 200, around the same price too, 225. And I cleaned that one. I took good care of it. But the Chinese one I had back in my 20s, I just shot the crap out of it.
Yeah. Well, the accuracy doesn't seem to be getting any worse with the Chinese one. I don't know. It just shoots.
Yeah. Does it group?
Well, you can hit a cigarette pack 100 meters with every shot.
Oh, excellent. And is that so open sights?
Yep. So yeah, and then I put a scope on it just to try, and it's no difference in accuracy, but yeah, it's killed a bunch of deer over its lifetime, so it's pretty good.
Hey, with the right ammo, there's nothing wrong with using one for deer hunting.
Yep.
Just don't be using the full metal jackets for deer. It's because it's gonna punch.
No, I got a good deal. I got at the Wild West Shooting Center in Edmonton. They had 100 bullets in like plastic bags of Winchester pointed soft points for
I think it was $10 for 100 bullets. So I bought a whole box of them. And I could barely, I had to like open the box and take out bags and go to my truck and come back and get more because it was too heavy.
Perfect for
and then I loaded up. Oh yeah. Then I loaded up like all of them with, I think it was IMR 4198 and got a nice hunting load and then been shooting them for like 20 years or whatever.
Yeah, people trash them, but they're not a bad gun. They're not a high precision target rifle, but they're great. They are what they are, and they're great for, you know, like you said, 100 yards deer varmint, you know, and for $200,
yeah,
it's the best deal out there right now. And there's still yeah. there's still thousands of the Russian ones on the market, and they're all a lot of them are all Arsenal refinished. They look great, except you know stocks are a little dinged up, but all the metal works in good shape. And the one I got a couple years ago, the rifling was, it must have been rebarreled because it was a brand new, barrel. It had to be, the rifling was perfect. And it was reasonable at 100 yards. Yeah. A cigarette package. It was 6 inches at 100 yards.
It has a bayonet in case you run out of ammo.
Or like George.
You know, because the thing isn't heavy enough. You could already use the whole thing at a club.
Well, that's what I do to clean it. You just open your bayonet, stab it in the ground and dump boiling water down the barrel. Get rid of all the corrosive stuff out of there.
Yeah,
that's not a bad idea. And just spray it down with DW-40 afterwards, right?
Yeah, or you don't even need to do that. It's all good, right? It's Chinese.
Yeah. Next shots, we'll clean all the rust out, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, or you just shoot a whole bunch, and then it'll boil the water out.
That's a good idea, too. So that's the gun you're actually giving Trevor for the charity shoot?
Yeah. Now he won't want it, knowing all the horror stories of its past.
Nah, he doesn't listen to the show. He unfollowed us, so.
Yeah, well. So Mike, it comes with a brand new stock, though. So.
Your Tapsco stock?
I can't remember what brand it is, but it's just like a Monte Carlo camouflage synthetic hunting stock.
He might
and then a wooden Chinese one.
Yep.
Mike, have you actually been into Firearms Outlet, or you just ordered from the mail?
I go to Firearms Outlet all the time. The problem is every time you walk in that store, you end up walking out with something.
Have you noticed the SKS that they've got in the display case?
The one that's like all pimped out?
Yeah.
Yeah. The one that every time I look at that, I go, why? It's literally the definition of putting lipstick on a pig.
It's beautiful. Andrew from CDN Gunworks did all the work on that, all the plating and everything else. I don't know who did the work on the stock, but it's the most beautiful looking SKS stock you've ever seen. All high glass, and it's got the nitrate gold and the operator on the gas system. And at one time, I think Fred said they were going to give it away, but they spent so much money on it, they were going to sell it, and they spent so much more money on it, they're just keeping it in display.
Yeah.
They probably got it.
It's a cool example of what they could do.
I'm guessing they probably dropped at least a grand of that SKS.
You can buy a crate of them for that price.
Yeah, you could get them gold-plated.
I'm sure there's going to be some collector out there that's going to want that gun, but for an SKS, it's.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of people who love their SKS, right, and don't want anything else. So
why?
I don't know.
Anyway, let's go on to events. What's the first event coming up, Mike?
Event number one is the Guns and Gals with Faith Goldley. It is February 11th. At 12:30 till 6, it is at the Marksman Club at 5070 Holt Road, Durham Region, Ontario, L0B1J0. And you can contact Jessica at events@therebel.media for more information.
That's actually a couple of clicks just from my place. It's at 5070 Holt Road. It's actually Taunton or Steeles. So it's at the corner. It's at the north.
That's the one on Taunton Road.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I know exactly where that is.
Yeah, it's the northwest corner of Holt and Taunton. It's just, you just go north a little bit up Taunton, and the driver's right there. It's a nice little range.
Yeah.
I was thinking of going, but I'm working that afternoon, so.
I'm assuming I said that email right. Like, this person, it, Jessica is the person, and then her email is events@therebel.media.
Well, you put the link in there anyway, so I guess they can go in there and get the,
Well, I don't put the whole thing in there. Oh, actually, yeah, I'll throw this whole link in there.
You did. There's a link under there, underneath there.
First time you actually provide a link.
I didn't put this in.
I don't think I did.
Maybe I did. I don't remember. I'm old. I forget these things.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, that's why I'm saying, just take the Xanax. I mean, you're not going to get much worse.
Oh, this is true. This is true. I commented on Jason's Reloading podcast. Yeah, I commented on the song that he posted some lyrics on. And he answered back immediately. So you're what, around 58-ish?
And how close is he?
Pretty close. I'll be 57 in May. Well, Mr. Uzi isn't far behind me.
I'm only 40.
you just don't want to be in the old people club by yourself, eh, Thomas? You want to pull everyone else down with you?
Oh man, I had my friend Janet and Bruce over yesterday, and Janet just retired. And we're talking about at 55, you can get the seniors discount at Shoppers Drug Mart. And she's telling me about all the seniors discounts I can get now. Like, shut up, just shut up.
Giant Tiger did that too.
Really? Giant Tiger?
Giant Tiger has senior day, yeah. I always see the giant poster every time I go there.
Well, the thing with Shoppers is that it used to be once a month. Now it's every day. Seniors get 20% off, but you have to get that Optimum card.
Oh.
I don't bother that crap.
Isn't the card
Well, then free? You can get points and get free stuff.
You can get free makeup and dietetic needs. You know, pretty soon you're going to need those Depends and everything else, right?
You're going to need them soon enough anyways.
You get a free cane.
I have a cane.
Save up for a wheelchair.
We have several wheelchairs. I get manual, two extra power chairs, and a scooter, so I'm all set.
You're off to the races now.
Well, see, whatever Terry doesn't use now, I'll get to use it in 20 years, so.
20 anyway, years, ambitious.
Well, at least my benefits pay for it. I just can't wait to get this cataract fixed so I can see the bloody front sight again.
Yep.
Well, the advantage is when they replace it, I'll have 20/20 vision in my dominant eye again.
There you go.
I can start competing. If I'm able to run with my hips these days. Anyway, event two, March 11th by Ragnarok Tactical is the AR-15 basics course. It's on Saturday, March 11th between 8 and 5. It's at Kitchener, Ontario. The link for the tickets is ragnaroktactical.ca, and we got rid of the cost. I think the cost we said was what, one?
The cost is on the other course. If it's the same price, it's about 179. We'll call it 180.
Yeah, 180 plus theft.
Yeah. Assuming it's the same price as the other, AR course.
I'm assuming it probably is, and, Andrew's actually teaching that course too, I believe. And actually quite a few people have signed up, quite a few listeners have signed up for this course already.
Yeah.
You know, Benny's going, and I think, ET is signed up for it. Or maybe that's the carbine course I'm thinking of. Memory goes.
Yeah, I think everyone's signing up for the one that's, during the charity shoot.
Actually, this is a course George should take. I'll even lend him my AR for this course.
First, he needs an AR.
That's what I said. I'll lend him my AR for the course. It's a basic course. It teaches him how to clean it, how to put it together.
He needs the parts to put it together, though.
I know. So I'm saying I'll lend him my AR. You know, the whole reason he got one is the first time I met George was up at the range, and I let him shoot my Remington R15. And then he loved it. He loved it. And then he lost interest, and now he wanted to get old guns, and now he wants to get it again because Tim keeps throwing him under the bus, so.
That's what I'm saying. He should just either finish his build or just go out and buy a Nork. I don't know what they're running these days, but they were running pretty cheap for quite a while.
I think like $650, $750.
I feel like they were on sale for like $500 for the longest time.
Yeah. Sure. And there's nothing wrong with them. I know Jazz shoots a Nork. the ARs people aren't having problems with. It's just a lot of the specs are so out of whack, you have a hard time interchanging stuff. But for the money, and they're pretty accurate.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the next event, Mr. Uzi?
The latest CCSA gun draw is a beautiful Browning Maxis shotgun, which sports a high-gloss walnut stock, high-vis sights, polished blue barrel, satin nickel receiver, lightning trigger, speed lock forearm, and a power drive gas system. Tickets are one for $20, three tickets for $50, and a $100 bill can get you 10 chances plus a one-year membership for the Canadian Shooting Sports Association. The draw will be held March 1st, 2017. Please send your payment to Maxis, care of CCSA, 1143 Wentworth Street West, Unit 204, Oshawa, Ontario, L1J8P7, or call 1-800-873-4339. Or, that's not all. You can buy online at www.cdnshootingsports.org. Please note that the winner must have a valid Canadian firearms license.
And the website will be in the show notes.
At event three, we have, I gotta scroll down, the Canadian Sportswoman Society and the Real Outdoor Experience present Intro's Lady to Turkey Hunting on Saturday, April 8th at the East Algon Sportsman Club. Cost, space is limited to $20 and the cost is $70 per person. That includes lunch, refreshments, gift bags, door prizes, and a chance to win a fully guided turkey hunt. And a non-refundable $50 deposit is required. So you can contact, you can send an EMT or contact, 226-923-0193 for further information. And what's the last one, Mike?
The Manitoba Mounted Shooting Association, on April 22nd, they are putting on their, beginner/intermediate mounted shooting clinic. It's from 10 to 4. It costs $120. There's only, 10 spots available. The clinic includes a free one-year membership for first-time MMSA members. To register, please contact Angie 204-298-7533 or email manitobamountedshooters@gmail.com to confirm your spot. Payment is required at time of booking.
And event four, Mr. Izzy?
Oh, hang on. My
I think this is 4B.
4B.
Is this the air gun one?
Yeah. You don't have to read the whole thing. Just the date.
Okay. The Canadian Air Gun Grand Prix is May 5th, 6th, and 7th, 2017. And it's one of the largest international air gun competitions in North America. All events will take place at the new Pan Am. Scroll down. Shooting range.
I haven't
actually... main shooting. The main shooting range for this event features 50 positions for air rifle and air pistol, including positions designated for access by adaptive athletes. I guess that's people that are mobility impaired challenged. Or what?
Yeah. So,
challenged, yeah. Well, that's cool. They can do that. Anyway, finals will follow the new ISSF format. The top eight in each of the men's and the women's events, including international juniors and sub-juniors, will compete in finals. For additional information and letters of invitation, please contact Sherry Akau at sakau@dwpv.com. That'll be in the show notes, right?
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah, and I think Mary's actually competing in that event, too. And
so what do you need a letter of invitation for? Is it an Ontario thing or what?
I think you have to qualify. You might have to have so many points in order to do it.
Oh, I was thinking of a letter, like a short-term ATT type of thing.
No.
Like a letter of invitation to get your...
I'm not sure. No, you don't need any because they're non-firearms.
Are they all non-firearms, though? Or are there different divisions that... Well, it is the air gun pre, but I don't know. Are there any of the air guns used shooting over 500 feet per second?
Don't believe probably so. Not, because then they're not as accurate if they're fast, in my experience anyway, with faster air rifles.
They wouldn't, because before this, they were actually shooting these events in hotels.
And then people freaked out.
They did in Toronto.
So really, they're less accurate the faster they go, eh?
With the airs, yeah. That's what getting slow, they tend to slow down. They tend to get more accurate.
I did not know that.
The problem that a lot of the shooters were having, especially if they come in from out of country, is not bringing in the air rifles, but bringing in the actual canisters for the compressed gas.
Well, yeah, that probably resembles
a bomb.
Yeah.
And then they can't be charged and they have to have their own pumps and everything else. I remember I was reading a few years ago that a few of the athletes really had a problem bringing them over the border.
Yeah, it looks scary. Yeah, I just remember when I was a kid, we used to, you know, hop up our air rifles and make them shoot faster. And it seemed like the faster they went, the more shotgunny it got. Yeah, and then you'd slow it down and it was nice and accurate.
Especially with the wide cutters.
Yeah.
If you get the ones designed for hunting with the...
Like the Predator pellets?
Yeah, they're designed for the higher velocity. Where the wide cutters aren't, they're designed for the slow ones. And most of them are CO2 powered, so you don't get a lot of CO2 that can do that velocity. Most of them are spring activated to get the higher velocities.
Yeah, well, they got the air cans, like you pump it up and then it's like the high-end Benjamins and whatever. It's on the gun and they got the high-pressure pumps with the gauge on it.
Yeah, a friend of mine's got one of those and yeah, you can really pump it up. You definitely need an a PAL for those rifles.
Yeah. You can
bring it up to like 1200 feet per second on the muzzle.
Yeah. Go through a 3/4 inch sheet of plywood.
But it still goes when you fire it.
That's too bad we couldn't get that. Have you ever seen that? I can't remember what brand it is. In the States, it's a 357 caliber air rifle. Like it uses 357 bullets and you pump it up. And Jim Shockey used one to go hog hunting with, and it's got an integral suppressed barrel.
Oh,
and it's
shoot.
Really quiet. And he's like head shooting hogs with this air rifle, and they're just dropping like instantly.
But so you're not getting any sound then, because
no, it still sounded pretty loud on the YouTube video, but because it's suppressed, you can't get them in Canada. So, but yeah, but he's using like revolver bullets, shooting them out of this air rifle.
Wow, that'd
be sounds awesome!
Fun to me.
Yeah.
Okay, event 5 and 6. I guess I gotta do both then. So the July 7th is a carbine operator course, also by Ragnarok Tactical. So this is the day before the charity shoot. So it's Friday, July 7th, between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Again, it says Kitchener, Ontario. I believe this is probably at the Galt range, because you know what? I think this is.
By the charity shoot.
This one says Kitchener, Ontario, but then the charity shoot specifies the Guelph Rod and Gun Club. So the carbine operator course is the one I'm thinking that everybody's signed up for. Price is $176 plus theft. There is a link in the show notes. And then the next day is the 7th annual Canadian Podcasters Charity Shoot. And this year it is sponsored by the Canadian Patriot Podcast. And I believe International Liberty and Death are also co-hosting the event as well. So as I said, Saturday, July 8th between 9 and 6 p.m. And this one is held at the Guelph Rod and Gun Club. For further information, links are in the show note. And I believe with this range, it's going to be similar to the first one I went to. You're probably going to have a pistol portion in the morning and a rifle portion in the afternoon. But it's a beautiful club. So if you've never been out to the Guelph Rod and Gun Club, you just go to the charity shoot just to check out this club, because it's a really nice club.
I am getting morale patches made for the charity shoot this year.
Oh, yeah? What are you getting put on it?
I can't tell anybody.
Oh.
No, it's the
ruin the surprise.
Andrew sent me a design and we're
getting morale patches made for the shoot. So,
are they for sale or do you know?
Yeah, yeah. Everybody that registers for the shoot will get one for free.
Okay.
And then whatever is left over, you can just buy one or whatever. There'll be a bunch, you know, given away as prize packs and stuff. So.
Oh, good stuff.
That's cool. All right, so the next event is the BC Three Gun Redneck Championship. It's the fee is $100 or $125 after June 15th. There's going to be a prize table with gun draws in it. If you register before May 1st, you'll be entered in for a chance to win a free night at the Match Hotel. Pretty much all the regular Three Gun rules apply. All divisions are going to be there. To register, there will be a link in the show notes. And Mr. Uzi, do you have any information on the long range charity shoot?
Well, we're still finalizing the course of fire, and basically it's going to be a surprise. So it's a team shoot this year. So if you need to bring a partner that knows what they're doing when they're spotting for you. So practice with your partner if you're planning to go.
If you don't have a partner, will you just find two individuals and team them up together then?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's okay if you don't have friends?
It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a date or a location?
I can't remember the date off the top of my head.
So that's... How about locate? Well, it's going to be about the mile long range.
Yeah, it's at the longest mile range, just south of Edson, Alberta.
Okay.
Can't tell us what the sponsor is. He can't tell us what the prize is because everything's hush hush up right now. So it's going to be a tease until we find out more.
Well, yeah, we have a prize package that is being drawn that is, I guess, so valuable that the Alberta Liquor and Game Commission needs to be in attendance when we do the draw. So we have, it's really big this year. Like we have.
Is this for real?
Yes.
Okay.
For real. So anybody can win it because it's going to be a draw. Anybody that, like all the range officers and the people, organizers, the shooters, everybody there can have their name in the draw for this huge prize that it's killing me. I can't say anything.
So even if you suck, you can still win.
Yes.
Yeah, we had the same thing at the charity shoot. Even though you suck, you could still win.
Yeah.
Yeah, because last year basically there was one of those Turkish semi-auto shotguns like what Kelly has.
Yeah.
What's it called?
The Uzcon.
One of them. There was one of those. I'm not sure if it was an Uzcon or whatever, but
BR-99.
Yeah, it looked like a AR-15 looking thing. So that the top, something like that. Yeah. So the top shooter got that, and then basically they worked their way down, and there was a prize table, and you just went out when you were called or something off the table.
So in Ontario, might be
that this year too, but there's also some prizes.
Now, do you have the same rule that we have in Ontario? In Ontario, the Ontario Lottery Corporation won't allow you to give away a restricted firearm. Do you have that same restriction in Alberta?
I'm not sure, but it's not a restricted firearm that we're giving away.
Okay, good.
I have no idea.
That just eliminated that it was a handgun. That's all. Just, okay.
About that at all.
Well, you never know. It could be a short-barreled rifle or shotgun. Semi.
Yeah. Why don't BC, they don't have that rule? Because for the Action Rifle League, like with Ryan Space, their CQB stuff, Wanstall's last year had I think it was a 1911 or something like that they could give away.
No, it's just unterrible.
There.
Like for years,
it's just a provincial thing. Of course.
It is. It is just provincial. Yeah. Because for years, the CSSA would give away pistols, and then Ontario Lottery Corporation gave away, changed the rules without telling anybody, and it caused, a lot of concern at the AGM because they were giving away a handgun, not knowing if the laws had changed in the lottery. But it's good. So if it's out there, it could be anything. Not like I'm driving to Alberta for a rifle match, but you never know.
Well, maybe when I cash in my $60 million ticket tomorrow, like, I'll fly you out.
Well, yeah, if you want to fly me out, that'd be cool. And if you got $60 million, you can buy me a nice target rifle, too.
Well, that's just... Yeah, I haven't checked my ticket yet. Hopefully that'd be nice.
All I know is that I didn't win.
Yeah,
I checked. I didn't win already.
I keep winning a free play. I've had the same free play. I bought a $20 ticket, and it's always a free play every week. It's all I win. For like 6 months, I've been playing the same free play winner.
You just keep winning a free ticket?
Well, that's better than losing money, right?
Yeah.
And I got a buddy at work. He keeps buying those $20 tickets, and every week he's winning $50, $80. I say, well, how many tickets are you buying? Well, he's buying four or five tickets at a time. So, of course, he's got a 1 in 4 chance of he'll drop $100 in the scratch ticket. So, of course, he's got like a 1 in 4 chance of winning something. But he's a lucky guy. He won $25 on the Keno draw, and another guy at work won $30,000 on the pick four, and I haven't won anything yet.
How many guns have you won, Thomas?
This year?
It's 2017.
Yeah, when you have to define it by this year, I think that answers the question. Poor Thomas.
This year, tactically, I haven't won one yet. Not saying that I don't have one coming, but I haven't won one yet. And last year, I only won two.
Only two. You know how many I won last year?
Zero.
Yep. You know how many I won the year before that?
Zero.
Zero.
Good guess. We can go pretty far back.
I never win anything ever.
Yeah.
I think I've won.
It's July 22nd and 23rd, by the way.
Oh, you found the dates. Okay, so we'll put it in the show notes.
That's what it is.
I think I'm up to about 10 freebies.
Holy.
I buy tickets.
So do I. I always buy stuff. Like all these kids' charities and stuff. I spend all kinds of money. I don't win nothing.
It's a scam.
The only reason I won that pistol at the charity shoot is because nobody else is buying tickets for it.
Which pistol was that?
I Strike One 9mm.
I bought a ticket for that.
Did you?
Yeah.
I think four people besides myself bought tickets for it.
Well, how did Tyler win that M&P? Was that tickets too, or?
No, because the lottery says we can't give away restricted firearms, we couldn't raffle it off, we couldn't put it in the prize table. So what we did is that whoever, if you won the pistol shoot, you've got so many, points for tickets. If you won the different rifle divisions, you've got so many points. So Tyler did very well, and he got the highest amount of tickets. So he had the greater odds. I think he probably had about 6 tickets in there when everybody else maybe had 2 or 3 at that. And it was just a random draw. We didn't raffle it. We just a random draw.
Oh, yeah.
But we didn't even know we were getting it to last minute because Chris from NAS Guns and Ammo, that's one of the reasons I didn't get out there until really late on the Friday because I had to wait for the gun. It didn't come until the afternoon before the charity shoot.
Mm.
You know, it was a nice prize. So we just gave it away. We didn't make any money off it. And we kept it secret. Right. We didn't tell anybody.
That's cool.
You know, we did have some really nice prizes donated. Like, I made Trash Trigger Wholesale because the way they treated me with my gun, but he donated 2 guns. He donated the BR-99 and the UzCon. We got a lot of wonderful donations. Was it Odell that donated the, no, it wasn't Odell who donated the 783. We had the Remington rifle donated. We had the Vortex prize package donated. I can't remember who gave us the rifle though. We did approach Odell, but they actually have an ongoing lawsuit with Trigger Wholesale.
Oh, okay.
Gravel Agency donated the 783, isn't it? The model number?
I think it was a 7. I can't remember exactly, yeah. But yeah, the Remington rifle.
It was a 30-06 with the scope. We did approach Odell, and they sent us a really nice apology letter saying because of ongoing litigations, they couldn't donate. So, unfortunately, but we had a lot of help. A lot of people stepped forward. Brian Bolivar really stepped forward and got us a couple of people, and Kevin Latham got people, and it just snowballed. And then, Sarah from Lance Shooting Supply, she heard about it and she donated, the gift certificate. And I mentioned it, I contacted Canadian Gunworks, and Chris from Gunworks got Simon from S&J Hardware, who got Spatha Tactical, and it was just, it just kept evolving. You introduce one person, they want to get involved and get somebody else. So we had so many people step forward. So I really hope Andrew has the same success this year as that we had last year. Plus, I think Kelly gave him all the contact information so he can contact all the people that we contacted.
Nice.
Yep.
There was a few people we didn't hear back from, but like 95% of the people that I contacted got back to me.
Well, to me, that's just good business practice. Even if it's not a positive answer, it's still a reply.
Yeah, like I did ask. There was a company out in BC. I forget their name right now. They also are importing Turkish guns, and they did say, I'm sorry right now, but they were donating money for the fire at Fort MacArthur. So that's what they had. I guess they have so much they can give away for products for promotions to write off each year. And they did answer me and they said, no, but we're doing for this charity this year. But, you know, thanks for calling. And they were nice about it. So you appreciate that when you actually hear back from them.
Yeah.
Like I asked, Wolf Bullets to, if he could donate, a few boxes. He donated what, 3,000 or 6,000 rounds? And Lister Thomas won all those.
I don't remember exactly how many there were.
It was a lot. It took a few trips to his car.
Not a bad problem to have.
No, and the funny one was Benny. He actually bought a case of ammo for the course. Well, then he won a case of ammo at the charity shoot, so he made up his ammo cost for the shoot, which is nice.
Yeah.
Anything else, Mike?
We did have a listener email, but I figure we'll save it for next week for George. Because I feel like a lot of it pertains to George.
Is it hate mail for George?
You could call it that.
Should we gotta fuel up the bus for next week?
Yeah. I just want to make sure that he feels the full effects of the tire that they roll over. But if you have
tire chains on there,
if you'd like to add on to this putting George under the bus, you can do so by sending us an email at host@newshootercanada.ca, message us on Facebook or in the comment section on our website at newshootercanada.ca. And I checked the iTunes and Stitcher accounts. We have no new reviews. And as per Thomas's, suggestion, we are now on Google Play. So if Google Play is your preference for listening to podcasts, you can now find us there under New Shooter Canada.
And if you are going to write a letter for George to read, put it as many multi-syllable words as you can. A couple of good foreign words would be interesting too.
You know, he's not going to come back next week, right? After he hears this episode.
Well, yeah, well, Splatter, we'll definitely read your letter next week, but we're going to save it for George. We really are. It deserves an appropriate torture chest. And I think Thomas, you were going to write in, weren't you? Because you've been run over so many times by George.
I was, but I didn't know where to start.
it's a long list.
My back hurts.
Okay. Any shout outs, Mr. Uzi?
Shout out to JSA Tactical for helping out Project Mapleseed with their shooting mats.
Oh, good job. Did they donate some mats?
No, I got a good price on them.
Ah, what kind of mat did you get?
So yeah. Well, if you go to their website and look up their shooting mat, that's what they are. They're, like a high-end shooting mat for the Mapleseed people.
And so it's not a cheap Cabela one like I have.
No. So they're $100 shooting mat. That normally they're $100, so
excellent.
They're pretty high quality. I have all their, you know, they make shooting like bags and mats and a scope cover thing that wraps around your rifle receiver and your scope, and it's got a handle on the top so you can grab it and go with it. Or if it's raining and you're not shooting, you can cover up your scope with the cover and stuff. So
excellent.
Yeah.
And Mike, any shout outs from you?
I have shout outs just to all the listeners. Thank you for being patient for me for this week, because you didn't know it, but this episode's coming out late.
Mike's actually in the hotel still, so, and we can hear the little one in the background.
Yep.
Well, he won't be, you won't get home till what, Wednesday or Tuesday?
Hopefully Tuesday, but they're calling for an ice storm coming in, so maybe not till Wednesday.
Well, just drive safe.
Yep.
Maybe I'll call in sick on Wednesday.
Yeah.
My shout out is to Crystal Power. I never mentioned a couple of months ago that she was offered, she was a Grand Power ambassador. Well, Grand Power actually made her a sponsored shooter. So now we've got our friend Chris Babes and Crystal Powers are a sponsored shooter. So it's nice seeing manufacturers getting out there and actually sponsoring shooters. And she's good people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's from, my wife's hometown. Now that I figured that out, maybe next time I go to Port Alberni to visit the in-laws, I'll have to go shooting with Crystal Powers and Mr. Uzi.
Well, you know, she's very generous taking people out to let her check out her new X-Kel. And bonus, David did the same thing to Chris. He gave Crystal a K22 X-Trim too. So that's what he's giving his sponsored shooters, the X-Kel and the K22 X-Trim. So that's a nice gesture from a sponsor. I know there was a few. I know STI had a sponsor, and at one time my friend Nick was sponsoring shooters, but there's not a lot of IPSC sponsorships up here as compared to the States. The States, you get a lot of sponsorship and some high money sponsorships, so you don't get as much up here. So it's nice seeing it, especially with a new distributor.
Yeah.
Yeah, like there's guys in the States, that's what they do for a living. They just go around shooting.
Oh yeah, full-time shooters.
Get paid. Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome.
Where do you sign up?
I think you have to be able to shoot like Jerry Mitchlack and Rob Latham in order to get that type of sponsorship.
Yeah, you got to keep up with the big dogs or stay off the porch.
Yeah. Yeah, we wouldn't even make it to the porch, unfortunately.
No. Me in the doghouse still.
Okay, till next week, everybody. Thanks for listening. Keep your barrels bound, gun range, and smoking. Take a kid shooting.
Time spent at the range or time spent with family.
And shoot off the magazine.
Have a good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye, everyone.
Good night.
I really like 22 Mag.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or feedback you may have, or if you just want to call shenanigans. You can contact us at host@newshootercanada.ca or through our Facebook page.
The way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale until I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.